You know how we're always told our health starts in the gut? Well, for women, so much actually starts with our hormones. And when your hormone levels aren't where they should be, you feel it everywhere. Your energy, your mood, the way your digestion feels, your clarity, and even how your body manages weight. So as we head into the new year, imagine giving your body a reset, supporting it in maintaining optimal hormone levels with something that blends the power of herbal, nature-inspired ingredients and real science. There's a formula called Hormone Harmony that honestly caught my attention because it bridges both worlds beautifully. It was created by an award-winning German nutrition scientist, and it combines 12 powerful adaptogens into one herbal plant-based capsule. Every ingredient is chosen because it's supported by scientific evidence and has been studied across different ages and hormone profiles. So it's not just a herbal vibe, it's genuinely science-backed nature. My favorite combination. This is a company that has a strict zero compromise policy. No GMOs, no artificial fillers or flavors, just herbal, science-supported ingredients in clinically tested amounts. That's why so many women feel like their bodies respond well to it. What makes Hormone Harmony stand out is how it supports multiple hormone pathways at the same time, creating this ripple effect through the body and mind, supporting mood, energy, comfort, and easier weight management alongside a healthy lifestyle. And the social proof is wild. There are over 50,000 reviews from women around the world, and 98% say they'd recommend it to someone they love. That says everything. So this holiday season, give yourself or the women in your life the gift of wellness. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MAGIC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off today. You know, money is neutral. It's not moral. It's not good or bad. It's simply energy. And so most of the blocks that we feel around money come from old stories or family patterns or the belief that talking about success somehow makes us greedy or too much or braggadocious. And so the witchy shift is that money responds to nervous system safety, not pressure. That's what I keep telling myself. Money responds to nervous system safety, not pressure. So when you breathe and soften and regulate and remind your body that I'm safe to receive, you open the door for abundance. When you relax the grip, the desperation, the fear, the embarrassment, money has room to enter. Hello, magical friends, yo me's. My name is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. Take a breath, settle in. It's Witchy Wednesday. It's going to be a fun one because we're going to blend astrology and money, energy, purpose, and of course, have a little bit of witchiness. And I finally get to share the news that I've been teasing for a while. And it's nothing that is probably too exciting to many of you, but it's very exciting for my own personal world. So I officially closed on my first ever home as a realtor, which is surreal for me. And it was quite a process, especially since the closing. And of course, a lot of contracts happened during Mercury retrograde, a lot of communication. That's why there was a lot of different issues for such a high stress, but also very eventful and fun transaction. It's just so surreal that this finally happened, and it makes so much sense. And I was thinking one of the reasons why I chose real estate, not only is it something that I wanted to do since I was in middle school for Park City, especially because it's a luxury market, but my chart hinted that I might do really well financially with real estate. It's a little weird. It's a little weird to talk about how much I made. It's weird to talk about the price publicly. A little part of me that honestly feels icky because of my programming. I've been taught to not speak about money or how much one makes because it does feel a little icky and it sometimes sounds icky. And I think a lot of us hear numbers and we're like, we don't want to know. However, I think now we're all moving into, I know I'm moving into a space where I like hearing the numbers and only what people are comfortable with. That you don't have to share everything, right? Because I still am shy about saying numbers. And I know that that's a money energetic that I am working through. But I'm also practicing transparency and celebration because this is my actual career now. So this is how much the house was, the house closed for. The house was on the market for $6.5 million. We closed on the home at $6.325 million. Crazy, right? Crazy. Crazy for a first transaction. I'm very well aware of that. But there was also so many obstacles in the meantime. So, and I'm so thankful for the people who I worked with because I would not have been able to do it without them. I have a great brokerage. My brokerage and also the people that I worked with at the mortgage brokerage, everybody has told me that this will likely be the hardest transaction and everything else is going to seem a lot easier. We had a wall saga. There was a back and forth with the listing agent that felt like a marathon and delays and miscommunication, just absolute retrograde chaos. And then once it even closed, there was, in my own personal relationships, chaos. Yet there were so many different obstacles and I'm just so proud of myself. I stayed grounded. I stayed present. I genuinely loved the process. I loved the negotiating, problem solving, the communication. It was like something in me clicked and I realized, oh, I actually may be good at this and I love this. And this makes sense for me and why my chart said that maybe luxury markets might help you financially. And it makes sense where this is where I'm meant to be. And everything feels in this moment clear. It was like something in me clicked and I realized, oh yeah, I really I'm also meant to be here, but I can't also let go of the podcast because that is part of my soul, right? And even my chart with my Pisces and Midheaven lets me know that the podcast is part of my soul or what I do with the podcast, sharing soulful experiences. But also financially, this avenue of luxury markets may be best for me. And truly, it is. I love it. And now I can share with you now that the dust has settled because I was too superstitious to tell you during Mercury retrograde. Just a huge moment of alignment and realizing that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, keeping my vibration high and my head level and grounded as I continue manifesting more opportunities like this, which brings me to today's theme. We're going to talk astrology, money, and the energetics of abundance because when I really looked at my chart, like really looked at it, I saw why real estate made so much sense for me. And the play six were basically shouting, yes, girl, that is the direction for your financial health. Because I think it was a year or two ago, I was open about being in debt. I was swimming upstream, trying to find the best avenue to become financially free. I'm so grateful to have found a career that has taken me there. But also, my Pisces Midheaven explains why I need this space, the podcast. I need something that's soulful and intuitive and healing and creative. And it's not random that I'm drawn to both real estate and deeply human conversations. My chart wanted both. And the truth is, we can explore all avenues. And as much as I adore creating this podcast and I mean, man, it is so magical to have this. I just wasn't making the kind of money that I wanted to make. And in my 20s, I didn't really care. I wasn't spending a lot. I wasn't needing a lot. I was happy just being comfortable and creative and inspired. And money wasn't my focus. But then something shifted in my 30s. And now I care mostly about being debt-free, building real abundance, long-term stability, being financially free, and creating a life with options and ease. And so when I looked at my chart, real estate, especially luxury markets, just aligned with both my purpose and my desire for financial freedom. And it felt like for the first time, those two parts of me finally matched. So I followed the nudge and here we are. Huge alignment moment for me. truly the beginning of a new era. And so today we're going to break down why astrology can actually show your money strengths, how to read the houses that relate to wealth and career, the witchy energetics that shape your relationship with receiving, and how tiny micro actions, literal baby steps, can completely shift your abundance timeline. But first, because it's Witchy Wednesday, let's anchor the energy. Let's pull a tarot card here. I'm using the deck Astral Realms Crystal Oracle by Leah Shulman and Paige. So pretty with the rose gold trim. Ooh, momentum. The stone is pyrite and Mars is the planet. Keep moving forward. Small steps towards a goal are just as important as a large bounds. Momentum is somewhat like a snowball effect, in that over time, the energetic flow of multiple small actions will build and build, perhaps under the surface or in plain sight. Maintain a deep-seated trust that your actions, combined with the universe's attraction power, are propelling you towards your goals. No matter what stage you are in your journey, find reasons to keep progressing rather than finding reasons to quit. You never know how close you may be to the next big forward surge. I love that, guys. Momentum is for us right now. We're going to keep this momentum going. We're going to claim this energy. And with that said, let's begin with how you can look at your chart for clues about your financial and your career path and build momentum there. Ever since I started juggling what basically feels like two full-time jobs, real estate and podcasting, I have to say that my mornings have completely changed. I need rituals that actually support my brain instead of drain it. So I finally tried something new in my morning ritual and I am in love. I'm obsessed. It's called Everyday Dose. And it is coffee with benefits. So I had to bring this to you because I, as you know, love coffee, but I have no intention to replace it. So I still want my delicious coffee that I love, but enhance it with really powerful ingredients like lion's mane and chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics. And the nootropics help my brain feel, honestly, I believe, clearer and calmer and way more focused. And so picture the same cozy morning coffee moment, but with clean, sustained energy, no crash, no jitters, which for me is everything. And it takes 30 seconds. You mix, sip, done. My brain and my gut have not been happier with a coffee routine in a long time. So Everyday Dose combines high quality coffee with functional mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics to fuel your brain, boost focus, and give you that clean, steady energy all day long. It tastes just like coffee. It's just coffee. Plus benefits. Right now, get 61% off your first Coffee Plus starter kit, free peppermint mocha creamer plus for the holidays, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/magic or use code MAGIC at checkout. So let's talk the second house. If you're looking at your chart, find the little number 2, and this is the part of your chart that tells you how you earn and how you create stability, how you feel about money, how you value money, and the types of work that feel natural for you. So the second house isn't about passive income or investments. That's coming in the next segment. The second house is about your direct effort, the work that you show up for and the way you like to earn. So think of it as your money personality. The sign on your second house shows your earning style. So basically how you're wired to make money. Whatever sign sits on that cusp describes the kind of work that feels the most natural and aligned for you. So for example, if your second house is in Aries, you're someone who earns best through independence and action, maybe even entrepreneurship. Taurus earns through steady growth and stability. Gemini makes money through communication, writing, teaching, anything where your voice or mind is the tool. Cancer earns through nurturing, care work, or home-based energy. Leo earns through visibility and creativity and leadership. Virgo thrives in service and wellness or detail-oriented work. Libra earns through beauty, partnership, or aesthetics. Scorpio through depth, psychology, or healing. Sagittarius, through travel, education, or expansion. Capricorn, through structure and long-term discipline. Aquarius, through innovation, tech, or anything unconventional. And Pisces, earns through spirituality, creativity, or compassion-based work. So whatever your second house sign is, that's the energy that feels the most natural when it comes to earning. So if you're working with that energy, money flows. If you're working against it, things tend to feel harder. Mine's in Leo. Then, of course, you got to look at the planets in your second house, your money storyline. So if you have planets in this house, then they flavor your relationship with money. The sun, you shine through what you create. Moon, your income fluctuates with emotions or cycles. Venus, money through connection, beauty, charm. If Mars is in your second house, you might like hustle energy or competition. If Jupiter's in your second house, your money storyline has expansion, luck, big opportunities. Saturn, you might see your money storyline has a slow start, but then strong long-term stability. If Neptune is in your second house, then your money storyline has intuition-led work. Or Pluto, then transformation and big wealth after shifts. So even one planet here is just a major clue of what your money storyline looks like. So ask yourself, does the way I'm earning align with the sign on my second house? And if the answer is no, well, earning might feel like a grind, like you're swimming upstream. If it's yes, then earning may feel more natural or abundant and empowering. So when you work with your second house, energy and money flows. All right, let's move deeper then to the house of wealth and investments and shared resources and financial transformation. There's a lot to the second house, but we can look at the side of it that can show us how you build wealth, not just earn it. And one of the most misunderstood houses in astrology is the eighth house, and honestly, one of the most powerful ones too. So I've learned if the second house is how you earn, then the eighth house is how you build wealth. So you find that small number eight on your chart and know that this house is what governs many things. But if we're talking financially, it's long-term wealth, investments, real estate, mortgages, taxes, shared resources, inheritance, debt, business partnerships, passive income, psychological patterns around money. I mean, it's truly less about how do I get paid and just more about what am I building that lasts. So why the eighth house might feel psychic is that this house is traditionally ruled by Scorpio, which is the sign of intuition and depth and shadow and transformation. So that means that your wealth isn't just financial, it's psychological. And this house shows you how you handle risk and how you deal with shared money, or where you might sabotage or hold back, or where you're naturally powerful with money, and how your intuition influences your financial decisions. It's a very witchy house. Now, the sign on your eighth cusp shows your wealth style. So basically how you're naturally wired to grow big and lasting abundance. So if you have Aries in the eighth, then you build wealth through bold moves and take an initiative, and you're not afraid of risks when it feels aligned. Or if you have Taurus in the eighth, then perhaps slow, steady, consistent investing is your superpower. Gemini in the eighth, multiple income streams or communication-based investments work really well for you. Cancer, home-based wealth, literally property and family resources, home, think home body. That tends to play a big role. Maybe even any sort of work working from home. Leo, luxury markets, visibility, anything that lets you shine can be long-term wealth. Virgo, your wealth grows through strategy, detail, health, or wellness industries, or anything that rewards precision. Libra, partnerships are a huge part of your financial growth. So contracts, collaborations, beauty aesthetic-based industries really can help build long-term wealth. And then Scorpio, your intuition is your wealth compass. You transform financially through depth and psychology and powerful inner work. Sagittarius, wealth grows when you expand or travel, teaching, publishing, global opportunities, or you take big risks. And now if Capricorn is in the eighth house, then you build massive wealth over time through discipline and strategy and long-term thinking. So this is a late bloomer wealth placement, but huge when it hits. Aquarius, you may build through unconventional avenues. You may diversify your financial paths. You may step outside of traditional financial paths, do a lot on your own. Abundance grows when you trust your unique way of moving through the world and doing things differently, tapping into new systems or a variety of systems. And then if you have Pisces, wealth is intuitive and creative and often spiritually guided, and you sense timing and opportunities beyond logic. So whatever your sign is, that's your wealth building personality and your natural way of creating long-term stability, not just monthly income. So here are some examples of the planets in eighth. And if your sun is in the eighth house, then your entire life path is connected to transformation and depth and long-term wealth themes. Or if your moon is in the eighth house, then your emotions and your intuition and your subconscious deeply influence your relationship with money and power. And so the moon is intense, but in a beautiful and transformative way. Jupiter, that's obviously for big blessings and investments. Or Venus, wealth through partnerships or beauty. Mars, bold moves, negotiation strength. Saturn, slow building or stable or enduring wealth. Or if it's Pluto, you'll know transformation, power, big money, after deep change. Or Uranus, unexpected gains or sudden shifts. Your money blueprint so far is that your second house shows how you earn. Your eighth house shows how you build. And when those two work together, that's when you go from making money to creating real abundance. All right, so now let's move into the part of your chart that everyone wants to understand, which is your career, your purpose, and what you're meant to be known for. And so to make this super clear, I'm going to break it into two pieces. You've got the 10th house and the midheaven, because they're connected, but obviously they're not the exact same thing. So think of your 10th house as the landscape of your career. It's the energy of ambition and hard work and the contribution that you're here to make in the world. So it represents your long-term career path and your reputation and the work that you grow into over time, or the legacy that you leave and your relationship with authority and responsibility. So it's how you rise in the world. So the sign on the cusp of your 10th house shows the style you bring into your career, which is the tone and approach that feels most natural to you. And so the planets inside the 10th house show the energies that show up most strongly in your public life. And so they're like your career personality traits. So if the second house is how you earn and the eighth house is how you build wealth, then the 10th house is how you move upward. It's how you grow and contribute and become someone the world recognizes. So this house evolves slowly. The 10th house is a marathon, not a sprint, meaning that your career gets clearer with age and experience and self-trust. So the midheaven, this is your calling and what you're known for. It's a single point on your chart, and it represents your public image, your highest calling, the headline version of your purpose, or the qualities people associate with you, and what you're ultimately meant to be known for, or your soul's direction in the public world. That's why I love having this podcast, as my midheaven's in Pisces, and so this fuels my soul. So the MC isn't the whole career story. It's just the distilled essence, or the peak, or the destination your soul keeps nudging you toward. So when you're aligned with your midheaven, success feels natural, you feel recognized, you stop forcing a career identity, opportunities appear that feel made for you, or your work feels meaningful instead of draining. And so your midheaven is your cosmic job description, while your 10th house is the environment you do that work in. So when you want clarity on your career, look at both the 10th house, which shows how you work and rise and build your professional life, and then the midheaven shows the deeper calling your soul is moving towards. And then together, man, you've got one for financial abundance and one for satisfying your soul. It helps you just feel so connected and aligned. And together they give you a map of the kind of work you thrive in, the direction you're meant to grow, the qualities you're recognized for, what just creatively fuels your soul, and the career identity that actually fits you. So when you honor both, your career path starts to feel less like guessing and more like alignment. I would love to do an entire episode on the energetics of money. I don't feel totally qualified to talk about that because I'm still learning and growing. However, I know that that's a limiting belief that I need to shift, but I like to be open about these blocks that I have. And so I'll touch on some of it though, like the witchy side and the subtle side of receiving. And I promise I'll be quick, but you know, money is neutral. It's not moral. It's not good or bad. It's simply energy. And so most of the blocks that we feel around money come from old stories or family patterns, or the belief that talking about success somehow makes us greedy or too much or braggadocious. And so the witchy shift is that money responds to nervous system safety, not pressure. That's what I keep telling myself. Money responds to nervous system safety, not pressure. So when you breathe and soften and regulate and remind your body that I'm safe to receive, you open the door for abundance. When you relax the grip, the desperation, the fear, the embarrassment, money has room to enter. I became open about my debt or open about my financial issues. My parents have a lot of money blocks that I have to now work through because I inherited them. It's about doing simple rituals, right? So write down one belief that maybe you inherited about money and then tear it up and say, this story doesn't lead my life anymore. But it's more than that. It's working through that, recognizing when that story comes into your mind, zooming out with a bird's eye view and asking yourself what is true, redirecting your energy that way, shifting your perspective when you recognize the same talk, the same narratives you have around money that are blocking you. When those narratives come forward, what can you now tell yourself to shift it? Maybe write those narratives in your journal and then ask your soul, ask yourself, ask your higher power, God, universe, an angel, whoever, ask what is a new story I can tell myself as I let go of this old narrative. And whenever that old narrative comes, shift yourself to the new story, the new thought. That's just a little micro action you can do to start small, you know. Also compliment yourself, boost yourself up, celebrate the money wins, celebrate the opportunities. And if you struggle to receive anything, then you'll struggle to receive money too. So approach money like a relationship. Give it neutrality and respect and a soft welcome. Not panic or avoidance, right? Just small shifts and big impact. Another micro action manifestation, and this is where witchiness may meet practicality, but manifestation isn't about waiting for alignment or the perfect moment. It's about taking tiny magical steps that signal to the universe, I'm ready. So it could be that one email, I created a LinkedIn, or you could do one follow-up or application or listing update. Idea written down, DM, step forward, create a Substack or a new user on a platform you want to expand on. Like, these tiny moves regulate your nervous system and they build confidence and they create momentum. And so this is really where the magic happens. And every big opportunity in my life came from the little micro actions that I almost overlooked. Truly, this is not a ritual. This is not a spell. It's just a small decision. So if you take anything from today, then let it be magic favors movement. You don't need a plan, just the next step. With all that said, let's wrap this up. Today we explored three houses that shape your money and your career story. So you've got the second house for earning, the eighth house for wealth building, the 10th house for purpose and calling. You can also look at your midheaven. And we touched on the energetics, the subtle work that helps your body feel safe to receive more, right? Just simple shifts in narrative or little micro actions that make manifestation and your relationship with money feel practical instead of performative, but also truly, truly help you slowly shift your relationship with money. And my hope is that you walk away with a little more clarity around why you're wired the way you are and permission to follow the path that actually fits your soul, not the one that you think you should choose. I know that I was stuck with, no, I have to stick with this one path of the podcast for full financial abundance. Yes, this is one avenue I do make money, but when I dug deeper and I knew exactly who I am as a person and how I operate and what I do best with, I knew that real estate was a great path for me, especially since the universe knows financial stability and success has been something I am now calling in. And with that said, it's happening. And I'm welcoming it, and I'm claiming it, and I'm continuing to claim and welcome and embrace and celebrate that energy. And I'm loving my new relationship with money and my respect for it, as I used to not really have much respect or thought of it at all, which I recognize is a privileged position to be. 100%. I also was not doing well financially for a long time because I did not have a good relationship with it. And now I'm nurturing it. And also listening to the nudges and taking scary leaps that don't make sense, but I'm doing things that I know will fuel me and not caring what the rest of the world thinks and being rewarded for it. So I hope that you look at your chart and really dig in, learn all about it. I only give a brief overview, but your chart will tell you a lot more. And I think deep down, you know which potential direction you may want to open up to and see if you can do that simultaneously with whatever you're doing now, if you like what you're doing now, or if you're very content with your career path. Maybe there's something for your soul, looking at your midheaven or another purpose for you to fulfill to really just elevate and skyrocket that potential. If that is what you feel like you are missing some piece and you are ready to expand and explore that. So I hope that that makes sense, and I hope that this podcast resonated with you in some way. If it did, feel free to send it to a friend. I really do appreciate word of mouth as a means of getting the podcast out there. So thanks to you. This podcast has been keeping up. I would love to follow your Substack. So find me on Substack at Raquel Mantra, RAQUELLEMANTRA, or say hi to me on Instagram, same username, Raquel Mantra. And don't forget to tune into Freaky Friday this Friday. Sending so much love. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your magic.